a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Why live in a fool's paradise? I believe this is the Holy Spirit's message for these deceptive days in which we live. I will first ask you, what do you hope to gain by living in a fool's paradise? I know you all answer, I'm not living in a fool's paradise. That's what you say. But further consideration may convince you that you are living in a fool's paradise. Your old enemy, the devil, doesn't want you awakened to that fact, but God, the God who loves you and seeks your eternal welfare, he wants you alerted to your folly. He wants you to turn from it while such is possible to you. But some of you say, I'm a Christian. Surely I'm not living in a fool's paradise. Be not deceived. The devil has deceived Christians as well as sinners, and they too are asleep in a fool's paradise. Two conditions exist today, as the Bible foretold. First, deception abounds, and second, people have itching ears, and they want to be deceived, so long as it sounds nice and makes them feel good. I know it will be hard for me to be heard today when I bring you the bare facts of the case, the whole truth of God's Word. The devil, that old deceiver, is at work in the infidel clubs and in the church pulpits alike. The average sermon is made to put it over and to please the people. It is at funerals that the devil really takes over. The undertaker uses his skill to hide the foreboding presence of death. The casket is so attractive. God's beautiful flowers are captured by the devil to help hide the horror of death. And then the preacher makes his funeral talk and speaks so well of the dead man, even if he lived like a devil. And all those like him feel so comforted about themselves. And then to top it off, the soloist sings, "When We All Get to Heaven," or "Only Glory By and By." The devil uses that funeral to rock people to sleep in a fool's paradise. But God's Spirit would enter that funeral as Jesus entered the temple and turned everything upside down. He would take away the flowers and the makeup. He would roll back those eyelids and show the ghastly reality of death. And God's Spirit would thunder in the ears of all present, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." His words would awaken you from your slumber and alert you to the time so very near when your dead body shall lie in the casket and your soul will have gone into eternity. And be you saved or lost, your memory will go with you and the judgment lies before you. I tell you, your thoughts will be most solemn. You will no longer slumber in a fool's paradise. You will awaken to the reality of eternity and the solemnity of the judgment. You will beat your breast as a fool who lived for yourself and for the things that please you in this life instead of living for God and for eternity. But then it will be too late. Your history will have been made, and it cannot be erased or forgotten. The soloist who sang "Only Glory By and By," you will brand as a tool of the devil, and you'll wonder how you were so deceived when you had God's own word to warn you. Now let us see those today who are certainly living in a fool's paradise, unconcerned as to their sad condition and their awful destiny. In that funeral, there sits a man who says, "There's no hereafter. We all die like a dog, and that's all there is to it." What a godless fool is that man. Because he lives like a greedy hog, and he leads his family a dog's life, he thinks he will die like an animal. Surely that man is living in a fool's paradise. We fear that even a hurricane would not awaken him. And there in that funeral is one who says, "There's no hellfire. No one can tell me that a merciful God would put anyone in a fire to burn forever." That stubborn unbeliever, if an angel from heaven were to thunder in his ears, the wicked shall be turned into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, he would still say, I just won't believe it. And he'd go back to sleep in his fool's paradise. His close buddy sits next to him and says, oh yes, there is a hellfire, but here's the way it is. You just burn up like a feather, and I can stand anything for a few seconds, and then it's all over. This poor fool is so doped by the devil that when Holy Scripture warns us of those who shall dwell with a devouring fire, who shall dwell with the everlasting burnings, he still sleeps right on in his fool's paradise. Only a miracle of God could awaken such sound sleepers. But in that same funeral is a beautifully attired woman. She says, I'm such a good person. I've never done anything so bad. If I die, I would have a big funeral and all would talk about my fine life. No one can tell me that I'm a sinner and I need God's mercy. That might do for the alcoholic, but not for me. And in conceited pride, her soul is deceived. But when death's cold hand seizes her, and its angry waves roll over her, she shall hear, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Then she will cry for mercy. Then she will snap out of her fool's paradise, but the bridges will be burned behind her. She cannot return to earth to forsake her self-righteousness and to cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Her fool's paradise will have gone up in smoke, and the blinding smoke of the blackness of darkness forever shall be the abode of her benighted and bewitched soul. But who is he who is so unconcerned at that funeral? He is a religious man. He joined the church, you know, and was baptized. They made him a church officer and does a lot of church work. He loves the praises of his religious friends, while he carefully avoids the evangelist who tells people, you must be born again to go to heaven. For well he knows he's not experienced that, and he's so glad his pastor doesn't preach that way. As he sits there, he imagines the nice words the preacher will say at his funeral and how he will really preach him into heaven. That man is drugged with the devil's strongest dope. It's the bottle marked church, C-H-U-R-C-H. And when folks get a church home and do their church work, they go sound asleep in a fool's paradise. The great miracle of God's grace is when one of such church workers is truly repentant and is born again. But now we turn the page to the other side, and there sits a person who says, I know I've been born again, so I'm okay. It's only glory by and by for me. I'm ready to go. You are? Are you sure? Let me test you a bit, or rather, let me draw away the curtain of the great forever and see if you are ready to enter therein. It is true that a real born-again child of God loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he dies, he will go to be with Christ, which is far better. But that is not all the story. Let us look further. After death, the judgment. But not for Christians, yes, for them too. For the Word says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There our lives, since the Lord saved us, shall be judged. Our works will be seen as rubbish, wood, hay, and stubble, burned by the fire that shall try each one's works. The gold, silver, and precious stones will be what we did for Christ, because we loved him. Are you ready for that judgment day? Are you ready to be revealed in the last time? Yesterday, I got this letter from a very godly sister of 82 years. As she anticipates that judgment, she writes, I almost tremble at the thought of the judgment seat of Christ. How can I ever account for so much wasted time, so much living for self? Will there be anything left when the fire has done its work? How I praise him for the precious blood that cleanses me from all sin. Praise his name. I share this godly sister's thought. for I am not ready for that day. Though I have been saved for over 69 years, I have suffered the loss of all things for Christ my Lord. I have preached his gospel and labored more abundantly than they all, but I am not ready. The Holy Spirit is seeking to get me more ready. He says, David, I gave you so many precious truths from my word. I gave them to you for the whole world, and you've just preached them to a few. Remember, your accounting day is near. I am no longer young. My days are passing. So now my voice, by voice and in print, by day and by night, I'm working to get those precious gems of truth out to the whole world. As I awake in the morning, I thank God for giving me one more day to do it. Now, are you ready? Is your work all done? When Christ our Lord had fulfilled the scriptures and had done all the work his Father sent him to do, he cried, "It is finished," and he died. Paul said, "I am now ready." When? Only after he had fulfilled God's purposes in his life and could say, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith." Christian, awake. Awake from your pool's paradise and hear your Lord's call to you. Be ye also ready. At that judgment, our Lord, with his pierced hand, will place on the head of those who have earned them the crowns. There are seven of them. For those who love his appearing, who are faithful unto death, who endure temptation because they love him, who are examples of the flock, who keep under their body, who keep his word and do not deny his name, and who lead others to Christ. Will you be crowned or uncrowned? But the devil that deceives sinners by telling them that hell fires only for a few seconds now practices the same deceit on saints. As he says, "Don't worry, that will only be at the judgment. Then all tears will go, and it'll be only glory by and by after that." Oh, hear me now. If you suffer loss at the judgment seat, that loss can never be regained forever. If you are uncrowned in that day, you will be uncrowned for all eternity. Be not deceived. And our Lord told us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. But you said, "I don't see what I will need with treasures in heaven. I'm going to use it for myself now." And you lived in your fool's paradise. You may be a Christian, but listen. God said to him, "Thou fool." Who is that fool? Our Lord answers, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now be honest. Are you a fool, or are you rich toward God with your money laid up in heaven as you gave it to the Lord for the spread of his gospel? And in eternity you'll need clothes. Yes, you will. For at the marriage of the Lamb they wear the fine linen, which is the righteousnesses of saints. On earth you see people go so near naked, you say, "I would be so ashamed. I'd jump in a barrel if I had that little on." But will you be so unclothed in heaven that the Lord himself will be ashamed of you before the angels? A sister once gave me some money, saying, "I earned that making dresses for little girls." I said, "And now you're using it to make dresses for yourself in heaven." That's right. So let us get busy to complete our heavenly wardrobe. And you will need children in heaven. In the Bible, Hannah had no children, while Elkanah's other wife had children. Poor Hannah wept in sorrow. And Rachel cried, "Give me children or else I die." And my brother, my sister in Christ, I warn you, if you have no children in heaven, none in that heavenly throng that you led to Christ, while others have hundreds, you'll be ashamed of yourself. You'll wish you had been a soul winner on earth, but then it will be too late. Now I ask you, will it be only glory by and by for you? If your works are burned, and you suffer loss, and you're uncrowned, and your clothes are so few, and you have so little treasure in heaven, and not one soul in that blood-washed throng that you led to Christ, and thus you'll be for all eternity, will that be glory for you? Don't live in a fool's paradise any longer. Finally, sinner man, I beseech you, awake out of your fool's paradise to seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him with all your heart and all of your time by day and by night. Rest not, eat not. not, but call on God for his mercy and forgiveness. Repent of all your many sins, and in faith, saving faith, cry to the Lord Jesus to save you and make you one of his own to live for him. Tell him that you now confess him as your Lord and your Savior. Then he will assure you that he has received you to be one of his own redeemed people, and do it now, right now. Amen.